From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter. I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 72 of Little Brother for the 12th of February, 2022. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. In episodes 69 and 70, I mentioned a service called ID.me, which uses facial recognition for authentication of users attempting to log into a service. To log into a site that uses the service, you have to stream video from them long enough for them to confirm that you are you and compare that to the documents on file confirming your identity. The IRS was set to roll it out. Well, at the start of this week, I was figuring that I would tell you about all of the members of both houses of Congress and both sides of their respective aisles who are up in arms about this, presumably having gotten an earful from their constituents. However, rather than telling you that, I'm going to tell you that the resistance was not, in fact, futile. On Monday, the IRS said that they would be transitioning away from using ID.me after lawmakers asked the agency to halt its plans. Of course, the IRS says that they, quote, take taxpayer privacy and security seriously and understand the concerns raised, end quote. As mentioned in episode 70, ID.me is not just doing a yes-no search on whether a person is who they are supposed to be, but further checking faces against a larger database to determine who else they might be. With facial recognition's stellar record of accuracy, I can't possibly imagine what the concern might have been. Y'all smell sarcasm? Anyone who has spent time poking around on YouTube has no doubt heard the hosts of whatever videos they're watching implore the viewer to like, subscribe, turn on notifications, all the things that increase the value of the channel in YouTube's eyes and make it easier to sell adverts on, which in turn increases the money that YouTube doles out to the creators of those channels. Well, here's a new one. Hello, all your files have been locked by randomware. No. Randomware, but calls you can access back with subscribe my channel YouTube. Alright, that malformed sentence is what greeted victims of a ransomware discovered by Malware Hunter team. The group behind it call themselves the Ghost Cyber Team and claim to be from Indonesia. Vice reports that they don't seem to have been very successful, garnering a mere 64 subscriptions. But just follow the rules and all you files back. Don't forget to like this podcast and subscribe to my channel. Oh, there's that smell again. Maybe not as strong this time. In October of 2020, FBI Special Agent Michael Stultz applied for and was granted what has commonly come to be known as a geofence warrant. In so many words, the warrant directs Google to produce a list of all Android devices that were known by Google to have been on the inside of an area defined by a given set of GPS coordinates. The coordinates given mark out a rectangle in the city of Seattle surrounding the Seattle Police Officers Guild. Earlier that month, two individuals were seen throwing Molotov cocktails at the rear entrance to the building during a Black Lives Matter protest. Of course, the problem with geofence warrants is that anyone who went anywhere near that building that day while carrying an Android device will get caught up in the dragnet. It is probably safe to assume that Apple were served with a similar warrant. The last time I mentioned the Lockbit ransomware is back in episode 47, when I mused that I should probably make Who Got Pwned a regular feature of the show. Well, this week the FBI are warning that there's a new version of Lockbit out there, which they are referring to as Lockbit 2.0. Like its previous version, it will abort a compromise if it detects certain Eastern European languages present on the system. So, it's Pravit Vashi Systemi. Oh yes, I went there. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. If you haven't picked up on this yet, the European General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, is very sensitive to the idea of citizens and other residents of the EU having their data shipped across the Atlantic and stored on servers here in the US, where, once it's out of European hands, it's out of European jurisdiction. This is, of course, completely understandable. In the fall of 2020, the Irish authorities told Facebook, in the spirit of following this regulation, that they needed to stop shipping the data of European citizens across the Atlantic. Facebook threatened, at the time, to pull up the stakes and leave Europe. Ultimately, they did not do this. Well, doing their best imitation of a cracked vinyl record, Meta have repeated the threat. This time, the German and French governments responded. German Economy Minister Robert Habeck remarked, quote, "I've lived without Facebook and Twitter for 4 years, and life has been fantastic," end quote. French Finance Minister Bruno Le Maire followed up the remark by saying, quote, "I can confirm that life is good without Facebook and that we would live very well without Facebook. Digital giants must understand that the European continent will resist and affirm its sovereignty," end quote. For what it's worth, I've been Facebook-free since October, and I couldn't agree more. And you know what that music means. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Week. This week's winner is Vodafone Portugal. On Monday evening, thousands of customers were not able to make phone calls or use the internet on their devices. According to Vodafone, quote, "There is no evidence that customer data has been accessed or compromised. An in-depth investigation of the criminal act will continue for an indefinite period with the involvement of the competent authorities," end quote. Now, the ability to communicate is kind of important, so if you have the ability to do so, you might want to consider having different members of your household get their cell service from different providers, just as a hedge against this sort of failure. Now, here in the U.S., Verizon has an excellent reputation for coverage and reliability, but it's worth noting that Vodafone is part owner of Verizon, so make of that what you will. Back in the mid-90s, a law was winding its way through Congress called the Communications Decency Act. Primarily, the purpose of this law was to regulate pornographic content on the internet. It lasted about a year before the anti-indecency provisions of the law were struck down by the Supreme Court. In the majority opinion, Justice John Paul Stevens wrote, quote, that the CDA lacks the precision that the First Amendment requires when a statute regulates the content of speech. In order to deny minors access to potentially harmful speech, the CDA effectively suppresses a large amount of speech that adults have a constitutional right to receive and to address to one another, end quote. There is, however, one good thing that came out of the whole debacle. You see, part of the CDA put a provision on the books that is usually referred to as Section 230, a reference to where you can find it in the Communications Act of 1934. For those who want to look, you can find it in the U.S. Code Title 47. Make sure you have plenty of coffee before sitting down to read it, though, okay? Anyway, the important thing that Section 230 says is this, quote, no provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as the publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information content provider, end quote. So what does that mean? Well, in a nutshell, this law gives important protections to operators of websites, protections against what their users do. See, if sites like Facebook were considered a publisher, then they would be held responsible for all of the content that appears on the site. Now, that applies to pretty much every website, so if you feel the way I do about Facebook, you know, substitute Reddit or whatever. What it implies is that any kind of website that allows users to type messages that appear on the site immediately would have to shut down. So that brings us to 2020. In response to the toxic environment that was social media at the time and continues to be today, Senator Lindsey Graham, a Republican of South Carolina, introduced a bill to the Senate called the EARN Act, E-A-R-N. The rogues gallery of co-sponsors made this a genuinely bipartisan bill. Now, let me be clear. Bipartisanship can be a wonderful thing. But in this case, as is so often the case on these crypto topics, this one is both sides of the aisle against us. Let me explain. What gave the bill momentum was the way in which it stated its purpose. The stated purpose of the bill was to reduce the prevalence of sexual exploitation of minors on the internet. While the stated objectives of the bill are absolutely important and laudable, the methods are not, to the point that I personally do not believe that that was the real reason for this bill. Among the provisions that were intolerable if the bill were to pass, any state in the union would be able to bring suit against any service that provides end-to-end encryption. It would also strip websites of the immunity that I mentioned a minute ago, meaning that websites needed to police all the content posted by users. I don't actually have a problem with websites going in and removing objectionable content posted by users, but requiring that all of the content be vetted before posting, that would put an end to the internet as we know it. The end-to-end encryption provision, however, is the big showstopper for me. This is a fight that I have literally been fighting since the early 90s. Encryption is a right, for the very same reason that free speech is a right. You have the right to speak free of government interference. Mind you, not free of consequences, but free of government interference. And so your choice of words, your choice of ideas, your choice of language, all are yours to make unimpeded. And what, may I ask, is an encrypted message, but a message that is in a language only known to you and your intended recipient? So, why do I mention this? Well, it's back. That's why. Senator Graham has reintroduced the EARN Act as Senate Bill 3538 in the current Congress in 2022. If you want to keep your privacy, you need encryption. If you want to keep encryption, this bill must die. For this reason, I will ask you to reach out to your lawmakers now and make your opinion known. You can look up the names and contact information of all of your elected officials at votesmart.org, and I highly encourage you to do just that and let them know that you oppose the Earn It bill. Again, Senate Bill 3538. And maybe also ask them why we need to keep doing this. And it's time once again for the fail of the week. This week's fail, I'm trying to decide who to award this one to, but I think we need to give it to Mazda. So, HD radio, the standard that's being adopted in the US for digital broadcast radio, has the ability to enhance the service of a radio station by providing a station logo and album art which handily appear on your radio's screen, giving it a similar appearance to content delivered by other digital means, such as, I don't know, this podcast, for instance. The relevant images can be sent as JPEGs, maybe some other image formats are supported as well. Documentation is a little scarce, but the point I'm trying to get at is that part of the standard specifies that the files sent need to include a file name extension, the .jpg on the end of the file name. Well, NPR station KUOW in Seattle briefly sent out a data stream without the file name extension. So, yes, KUOW made a mistake here and was the other candidate for this award. However, in such a situation, a radio should ideally either reject the data, basically ignore it, or try to determine what it is. But the point is that there should be a graceful failure or a graceful recovery, and the radio should continue to do its job otherwise unabated. This is the reason why I am awarding this fail of the week to Mazda, because their radios did not, in fact, fail gracefully. Mazdas from model years 2014 to 2017 that received this malformed signal now have their radios bricked. Turning the radio off and back on puts it into a boot loop, complete with a distracting animation that repeats over and over and over. In a nutshell, any developer will tell you that this is the reason why you sanitize your inputs. You can't trust that the input that has come to your program is valid. You need to check it. Fixing the radio requires replacing the connectivity master unit, or CMU, a part that costs, get this, $1,500, if you can find one. The current state of the supply chain has made that difficult. Thankfully, Mazda are covering their replacement, and hopefully with the new units, they have patched their systems. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fogaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Knight Rider 007, Azriel, Ed, JB, Fogaboo, and Brute Trash Can for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Punk music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme and bumper music is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme starting this week is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or concerns about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well.